So why am I talking about Desmond Doss? So Desmond Doss, he proved reliable. Right. He got made fun of. Right. He almost got kicked out of the army. He didn't have any respect. But after this day, everyone respected him. Right. He proved reliable. As a medic, he did his job, but he went above and beyond the call of duty. No one told him to do that. No one expected him to do that, but he did it. He proved reliable. His trustworthiness, his reliability literally saved lives. And these men had saved the lives of future families. And he's inspired thousands by his devotion to God that day. Doss proved reliable.
Right.
And he saved lives. He risked his own life to save others. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, our situation's maybe, you know, not as intense. It's not as drastic. It's not like we're trying to save lives. Or is it? And actually, the truth is that it is the same with us, right? Okay, you might not be dragging people off a cliff while their arms shot off, but God is counting on each and every one of us to be reliable in order to save souls, in order to save lives. And so God is counting on you to be a reliable man of God in order to be equipped to go, to literally go and save lives. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that is, it's just as big of a deal for you as it was for this guy, Desmond Doss, sacrificing his own life, putting himself in danger to save the lives of these men. Desmond Doss, he was entrusted with these men to take care of them, and he did it. We've also been entrusted with the men on our campuses because we've been entrusted with the gospel that can save their lives. Amen?
Yeah.
A message that can save their souls, that can change their eternities. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That by you being disciplined, you being reliable, you knowing your word, that you can be just like Desmond Doss, you can save souls. We got to really believe that, guys. You know, we've each in here, you've been chosen by God to prove reliable. You've been entrusted with a gospel that can save lives. And tonight we're going to read a letter here to a young church leader who was around our age, actually. And we're going to see what his disciple or his mentor, what he charges this young church leader with. Okay, turn your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you haven't memorized the scripture yet, a great scripture to memorize, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to start in verse 1. But this is a really important passage to write on your heart. So let's read here starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says to Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. We'll stop there. So let's break this down here, guys. So verse 1, let's focus on verse 1 for a moment. So Paul, he says to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, be strong in your own strength." No, that's not what he says, right? What does he say? Be strong in what?
The grace.
In the grace. That is in who?
Christ.
That is in Christ Jesus. Right? He says, be strong in something that actually you don't have in and of yourself.
Right.
Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus. So basically saying, go to Jesus for your strength. Go to grace for your strength, for your motivation. Be strong in Him and His love. So whose example should we go to in order to get strength to be a great servant leader like Timothy? We got to go to Jesus's example. We got to go to Jesus to get that motivation. You know, what Desmond Doss did is very inspiring, but the life of Jesus and what he did for us should inspire us to be reliable every day 1,000 times more than what Desmond Doss did. You guys with me on that?
Yeah.
What Jesus has done for you should motivate you to be reliable every day. Amen? For what he did for you on the cross. Jesus is the most reliable man that will ever walk the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And you get to follow him and learn from him. You get to get in the scriptures. Jesus, check this out. Jesus proved reliable with the scriptures. He proved reliable with training other disciples. He proved reliable with serving others and meeting physical needs. He proved reliable with being a man of his word. He let his yes be yes and his no be no. He proved to be a reliable friend, right, to his 12. And most importantly, he proved to be a reliable Messiah who fulfilled all the prophecies about him. Because he knew his scripture, he knew the life he had to live to fulfill the scripture. And I want to make something really clear here. Jesus was so very reliable because he relied on God alone. He was so reliable because he relied on God alone. He relied on the Father. Jesus, he got his strength from God. He was strong in the Father's love. He knew that he could rely on the Father no matter what was going on, no matter what was happening. He was so reliable because he relied on God's love for him and the strength he got from God. Does that make sense, guys? Jesus needed God. How much more do we? How much more do we? Oh my goodness. So let me ask you guys, how is it going relying on God for strength and not yourself? How's it going relying on God for strength and not yourself? Let me kind of break this down a little bit. When you're going through tough times, is your instinct to kind of detach from people and maybe even from long times with God? Or is your instinct, I need more word in my life. I need more people in my life when you go through hard times.
All right.
Or maybe you're relying on yourself just with like wisdom. You know, maybe you have a lot of things going on in life right now with school or with money or with a relationship. You know, relying on yourself looks like just kind of sitting in your room thinking about it and then making a decision. But relying on God means getting in the scriptures, getting advice, right?
Yeah.
But think about that for yourself for a moment. How much are you really relying on God for your own strength through the good times and the bad times? You know, if you're not relying on the strength that God's grace brings through his word,
then
you're never going to prove reliable. If you're not relying on the scriptures for your life, for your faith, then you're not going to be able to prove reliable. You'll always be limited.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend in the Word each day getting strength from the Scriptures? How much time do you spend each day? And because when we get in the Scriptures, we're going to be more inspired by Jesus. We're going to see His love more in the Scriptures. We're going to see what He did. And one of the passages in Scripture that really shows me how Jesus, number one, was reliable, but that he relied on the Father, is when Jesus goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
Right? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
So he went to God in prayer, sweating his own blood, relying on the Father in passionate, raw, vulnerable prayer, and he left that time in prayer ready to go, ready to be betrayed by a guy he trained up in the faith. And he was ready to be reliable to take on the task of being the Savior of the world, of being the suffering Messiah, the chosen one that would one day free you from your sin. But how did Jesus get through that trial? He prayed.
Yeah.
He relied on the Father.
Yeah.
So, and you think about Jesus being tempted in the desert, how did he do that? With Scripture, right? Every lie that Satan said, he had a scripture ready to go. But can you do that?
Right.
And where do you go for your strength? And again, the reason why we're focusing on this right now is because the first thing Paul says here before he says go, you know, prove reliable and equip others, is he says, first thing, Timothy, you got to be strong in the grace.
Yeah.
You got to start there. And so we're starting here tonight as well.
Yeah,
good point. But are you strong in the grace? Does that get you going during the week? Just knowing how loved you are by God, knowing how loved you are by Jesus. Jesus in that garden, he relied on God. And you got to think, if he didn't have that time in Gethsemane, how much harder it would have been for him to get through the passion, to get through that time. You know, if Jesus never proved to be a reliable prophet and Messiah, then we would never have anything to be reliable for. Mm-hmm. We would have no message to be entrusted with. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But because Jesus stuck it out, fulfilled Scripture, denied himself, proved reliable to Father, relied on the Father, we can actually have something to be reliable with, which is the gospel, which is a gift. So let's move on to verse 2 here, which is kind of one of the more, the main part we'll be focusing on tonight. You guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
A little quiet in here, man. It's a kitchen, but you can, you know, kitchen, people this talk in kitchens, come on. So, verse 2. So let's just read it again. It says, after he says this to Timothy, then he says in verse 2, and the things you've heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Okay, let's break this down. So Paul said a lot in the presence of many witnesses. He talked a lot, he preached a lot. But the main thing that Paul said in people's presence was the message of Jesus, was the gospel, right? So if you were around Paul for any hour of time, you're going to hear him talking about who? You're going to hear him talking about Jesus, this resurrected king.
Right.
Imagine just walking into town one day and you hear this Jew talking about this prophet who rose from the dead. That's amazing. That's all he kept talking about. And so he says to Timothy here in this letter, he says, hey, the things you've heard me say, the gospel, entrust to reliable men who also be qualified to teach that gospel to other people.
Right.
Right? So he says, go and trust this message of the resurrected King, King Jesus, to others. And entrusted, what does that mean? Entrusted, a definition is to place in someone else's care. Right? To commit to someone else, to hand over something of value. Right? That's what it means to be entrusted with something. But Paul makes it clear here, guys. He says, but don't just entrust anyone with this, right? He says, don't just choose anyone and entrust them with this. He says, entrust this good news to reliable, faithful, I might say faithful in your translation, faithful people, reliable people.
Yeah.
Guys, the kingdom of God needs reliable men.
Right.
Period. We are desperate for reliable men in the kingdom of God. In fact, we're starving as a church worldwide for reliable men in the kingdom.
That's right.
Youth Corps has 80% more girls than guys. Most campus ministries, there's way more girls than guys. What is going on? This is an epidemic, like we were talking about last week. And tonight, that's why we're talking about this, yeah. Guys, is because a lot of people are not proven reliable. I'm not just talking about leadership. I'm talking about just entrusting themselves with the gospel and sharing it with other people.
Right.
We need leaders, but we just need reliable disciples. That's what we need. We're going to talk about that more. But Paul says, Timothy, go and trust this world-changing message to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others this gospel. You know, Proverbs 25, verse 13, just write it down. Love this verse. It says, like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? A trustworthy messenger. Now, I want to say something. All of you in here, each and every one of you guys, has incredible abilities, incredible talents in all these different areas. This is a room full of talent. I think we all know that. It's a room full of young, gifted men of God with a lot of ability to offer. We got great students in here. We got great speakers in here. We got great listeners in here. We got a lot of intellectual guys in here. We got great leaders in here. We got great friends, loyal friends in here. We got great servants. We got great musicians. We got people great with their money. And the list of abilities goes on. But I'm here to tell you guys something. That ability is not everything. Ability is not everything. Right here, we see that Paul the Apostle himself is looking for more than just talent. He's looking for more than that. He's looking for reliable and faithful disciples of Jesus. Ability is important in our quest for success, but dependability is critical. Dependability, way more important than just ability. There's a lot of guys with talent in the world. There's not a lot of guys that are dependable. For a lot of my life, I was not a dependable guy. I was not. I had to repent of that. The greatest ability is dependability. Do you have that? Is that a strength of yours? Is that something that's on your radar that you're trying to grow in? Is being dependable with whatever area of life. And I think an area we all need to grow in is that, is being dependable. Being dependable servants of God. Amen, guys?
Amen.
You know, bringing it back to Jesus here, right? We're trying to learn from Jesus tonight. Let's just think about what Jesus did here for a moment. You know, Jesus lived 33 years of being a reliable, sinless Messiah, being entrusted with fulfilling all these prophecies, living a sinless life, enduring suffering, enduring betrayal from his best friends. Like, imagine if you were just everyone in this room left besides you. And you just showed up Wednesday and it was only you and no other men. He endured that. He endured the cross, suffering, flogging, scourging, rising from the dead, conquering the grave, all so that we could have good news to be entrusted with. That we could have a gospel to share and even have to move to other people to prove reliable with. And the sad thing is that some of us act like we haven't been entrusted with anything at all. We act like we really haven't been even given a message. What's up with that? Being reliable with the gospel should be the priority in your life. Right. You should be thinking every week, how can I know how to teach this better? How can I know how to articulate grace better? How can I know how to teach people the Bible better? How can I live like Jesus better? So when I meet someone, I'm a friend with someone, they can see Jesus in me. Jesus died so that you could be entrusted. Guys, it's a gift. It's a gift. Jesus saved you. If you're a disciple in this room, he saved you. He forgave you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Not just so that you could sit around and let other people do the work, but so that you could go and prove reliable with the message that saved your own soul. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's all a gift. It's a job, but it's a gift to pay forward. And just like Desmond Doss, souls depend on us being reliable with the Bible and just being reliable men of character.
Yeah.
Would Jesus be able to look at you tonight and say, this is my reliable disciple, grateful that he's been entrusted with the gospel? Could he look you in the eyes tonight and say that? This is my reliable disciple who's grateful that they've been entrusted with the gospel. What would he say? And again, if there's no gospel, we're not here tonight. There's no reason to be here.
Right.
There's really not a lot of motivation to be reliable without a gospel, without Jesus. And let me just, because we can get kind of moral with this, like, because we know being reliable is a good moral trait, right? There's plenty of reliable guys that aren't Christians on our college campuses, right? So let me just kind of differentiate something here. So our motivation for being reliable is not like the world's. That makes sense? The world's motivation to be reliable is really just because they want to be good people. They want to be moral. And they want, honestly, a lot of people just want to make money. And if you want to make money, you got to have good character of someone.
Right.
Right? And so the world's thinking, it's a lot more inwardly focused in the world. Mm-hmm. I need to be reliable so I can impress people, so I can get good grades, so I can be looked at in a high way, right, of honor and respect. But in Christianity, our motivation is different. It's not just about being good moral people. There's a difference between just moralism and Christianity. In Christianity, the focus is Christ,
right?
So Christians, our motivation, we strive to be reliable because we've been entrusted with the best message ever preached. The gospel, that's our motivation. The good news of the kingdom of God, of salvation. I mean, we're literally creating a new world by the way we live our lives, by calling people to let Jesus be their king. That's why we need to be reliable, not just because someone could say, oh yeah, that's a reliable guy, I like it, it's a good guy. No, but so that that soul can get saved and that people can get healed.
Right.
And people can get healed. Because when people make Jesus their king, they're just going to grow in being reliable. When someone says, Jesus is my king, I'm following him, they're going to grow in being reliable. You know, the world is reliable for more so self-benefit, but Christians are reliable because we've been entrusted. Because we've been entrusted. Think about this for a second. God has entrusted every disciple in this room here with privileges and responsibilities of which the Old Testament prophets could only dream of. Could only dream of. They prophesied about what you would be handed over to your care.
Right.
They prophesied about a Messiah and about this good news that would be literally entrusted to us.
Yeah.
But are you grateful for that? And does that fire you up? And does that make you kind of get more discipline about your life? Because you know you have something to do with your life. That you have a purpose. And that it's not just kind of graduate and move on and get a job. It's there's a lot more going on in your life than that. But just think about that. The prophets could only dream of this right here. What we have going on. Trying to get to know Jesus. Trying to spread the good news.
Yeah.
How are you handling what God has entrusted you? How are you handling what God has entrusted you? Let's break this down. I'm going to give a lot of different examples here. I'm going to get a little bit more practical. So you get, as you're listening to these examples, kind of think about maybe what sticks, what applies to you. Okay? So let's just go through these here. We're coming in for a landing here. How are you handling the Bible? How are you handling knowing Scripture and being able to teach others Scripture and teaching them how to follow Jesus, how to become a disciple? How are you handling being reliable in the area of texting or calling back when someone's reached out to you? Do you get back to them within the day, or does a week go by? And this is something that I had to grow on a lot, but guys, at least a good rule of thumb is just get back to someone within the day. Or if you can't get back, just say, hey, I'm busy today, I'll hit you up tomorrow. All right, but as brothers in Christ, guys, we got way too much at stake
to
be not in touch with communication. Mm-hmm. Gotta be good at that. Some of us in here are great at that. Some of us in here need to work on that. How's it going handling preparing a Bible discussion? Having it ready to go, that someone can call and you say, hey bro, can you prepare a great discussion for this Thursday? And you show up ready to go. And not like, shoot, okay, yes, John 8, 31, here we go. But you're ready to go, man. You're showing up to that room. You're like, I'm going to bring it today. I'm going to ask some great questions that are going to point people back to Scripture. But have you ever got that call? Have you ever asked, hey, I want to learn how to lead a discussion better? How's it going handling that? How's it going just following up with the men you've reached out to? Are you reliable with following up? Or do you meet a lot of people and then they just kind of go by the wayside? How's it going with that? How's it going just being reliable, discipling somebody, helping people grow spiritually? Is that something that you're growing in, learning how to mature disciples? How's it going handling just being a reliable friend? Just being someone that can be trusted. Someone that's loyal. Someone that listens. Someone that loves. How's it going being reliable with your schoolwork? And striving to do your best for Jesus? How's it going handling that? School, guys, the fact that we can go to college is a gift. Yeah. You go to developing nations, you ask, what do you want to do? They say, I want to go to school. I want to get an education. You guys got to be grateful, right? How's it going proving reliable as being a good student in school? How's it going being reliable with your job, being a good employee? Are you thinking about getting a job? Are you thinking about making money? Are you thinking about budgeting or finances? We got to be reliable with our money. We're going to read scripture about that in a second. And I know I'm saying a lot tonight, guys. I'm trying to keep it real tonight. But I think Jesus, I just think about how would Jesus approach this in. As I'm thinking about this lesson, I'm like, man, this is going to be a hard lesson.
Come on, yeah.
But we got to talk about this. How's it going being reliable with your family? Are you trustworthy with your family? Are you good with your family? Are you trying to get time with your family? Are you fighting for friendships, relationships? And lastly, how's it going just letting your yes be yes and your no be no?
Yeah.
How's it going being a man of your word? That when you say you're going to do something, not only do you do it, but you do it well. And Jesus did everything well. And when you say you can't do something, you're really like, I can't. And you actually say no's that you know why you just said no, instead of like, well, I really don't feel like it, so I guess I'll say no. But you say no because you actually have something else you're doing. That's why you can't do it. We've got to let our yes be yes and our no be no.
Right.
I want to read a scripture here, Luke 16, 10 to 12. I'm going to start reading it for sake of time. But Luke 16, 10 to 12. Listen up. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much.
Wow.
Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Verse 11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Mm-hmm. And if not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you a property of your own?
Wow.
Now, this scripture convicts me, man.
Yeah, it does.
It exposes the areas in my life where I'm not being responsible with things of this world. You know, there's been times in my life where I know, and I say to myself, oh yeah, I know why I'm not being called to that leadership position or this. You know why? Because I'm not good in this little area of my life.
Wow.
I know why I'm not an intern yet, because my grades suck. I know why I'm not a campus minister yet, because I need to grow and really have a heart for people. You know, and working at camp, oh, I know why I'm not a camp director, because I'm really, my heart's not there to really serve people all summer long. And honestly, I can't, for a while, I just couldn't lead myself. So what makes me think I can lead these people? So you got to think about, what is that for you? What's that earthly thing that you haven't even proved reliable with, but yet you're like, I want to lead, man. I want to do ministry. I want to do this and that. And God's like, how about you just start with like saving 10 bucks a month? Just start with that. And if you can do that, then I'm going to give you this Bible talk. Or I'm just going to give you someone to disciple. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
Think about what that is for you. It says, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Who will trust you with spiritual riches? You know, even Albert Einstein said, whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. Mm, kind of stealing from Jesus there.
There you go.
But this is something that we really got to think about personally. But to end out tonight, I want to end on an encouraging high note here. Here's the good news, guys. Here's the good news. Is that God desires to entrust you with so much more. God desires to entrust you with true riches. You ever think about that?
Wow.
That God says, oh yeah, Elijah, I want to entrust so much more to his care.
There you go.
He's my son, right? And he says, oh, Josh Silva, I want so much more to be on that guy's plate for the sake of the gospel. Each one of you guys, God is literally like, pumped and excited to entrust you with more things.
Wow.
But he can't do that until you prove reliable. He loves his people too much. He loves his church too much just for us to take on things that we're not ready for.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the good news, is that God desires to use you in greater ways. Every week, every month, every year, he's like, I want greater things for you. All the time. He says, look, I want these brothers to go beyond their call of duty like Desmond Doss. I want to use them. I desire to use them. You know, God handpicks his team. He chose you to be a disciple.
Yeah.
He chose you to be here tonight and be at midweek. Let that encourage you. Does that encourage you guys?
Yeah.
That God handpicked you? So now we got to act like it. We got to act like it. Like the creator of the universe plucked you out of this world and said, I've entrusted you. I'm calling you to be reliable. Jesus has a vision for you and is calling you to step up. God desires to entrust you with more.
Yeah.
Just to recap, number one, we need to rely on God to be reliable.
Right.
We need to rely on Jesus. We need to be strong in the grace. Jesus was reliable because he relied on God. So therefore, we must rely on God in his word and in prayer. We got to be grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Get our strength from what he's done for us. Only then can we be, we can move on to being reliable, more effective. And lastly, God is calling us to go and equip others to make more disciples and entrust them with the same message and equip them to be reliable, to multiply reliable disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, when we each do our part, when we each step up as followers of Jesus, God will do miracles among us.
That's right.
He will. You know, Matt and I have been getting a lot of time recently. One thing we've talked about, just to be frank, is we're like, we don't want to do all the work, quite frankly.
Wow.
We're here to lead you guys. But guys, Ephesians 4, it says, as each part does its work.
Yeah.
And part of your work is going to be being reliable.
That's right.
And I get excited about the thought of every brother in this room doing their part. Growing and being more reliable. That's how ministries grow.
Yeah.
Not just a couple guys that are trying to do a lot. But when each guy does their part. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you with that is that God's got vision for you this semester. God's got a plan of how he wants to use you this semester. Guys, so let's be inspired by Jesus. Let's become more like him. And let's prove reliable. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So God be glory.